Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina here. Today we are going to talk about, well, it's a part one of a three-part series talking about the image of a mentor. Sometimes visual images really help us look at a topic such as mentoring. So today we're going to be talking about a farmer. In episode two, we'll be talking about an athlete. In episode three, we'll be talking about a soldier. So Chris, what gave you the idea for us to talk about this?
About a week ago, I'm on a Zoom call, and I don't remember what the topic was, but the speaker
changed your life.
The speaker said, He mentioned these three images, a farmer, an athlete, and a soldier. Mm-hmm. I'm taking notes as I always do. After the call, I thought, wait a minute, this is about mentoring.
Mm.
But the call was not about mentoring.
Okay.
I want to encourage you guys, one of the ways I learn more and more about mentoring to be effective, I listen to stories, read a book, listen to a podcast, whatever, conversations, and ideas will come to me.
Mm-hmm.
So these three images really resonate for me.
Okay, so you were just on a Zoom call minding your own business on a different topic unrelated to mentoring. He mentioned
completely
these three, and then Holy Spirit just sort of gave you these ideas of what this would look like. So we did a little bit of groundwork
right. To
talk about, as a mentor, being a farmer, we help plant identity into mentees and help them grow in all six areas. So if you've listened to any amount of time, we talk about the six areas. Chris, what are those?
They're spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, and professional and or educational.
Right. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're complex people that we're just not one-dimensional. These six components, we believe, really summarize who we are. And so a mentor can be a farmer. And some of these characteristics, maybe before we jump into that, before we started recording, Chris, you talked about this visual image of farming. You want to go there for us?
Some of you live in, you know, large cities, and maybe you've never been around farms. I grew up in rural Oklahoma and part of Texas at times. But I remember living across the road from a cornfield as a kid.
Mm.
I had this thought. I was 4 or 5 years old, and for a four or five-year-old boy, these corn stalks were like a forest.
Sure.
I remember playing in them and thought this was such an adventure. While we're playing in there, you know what we're doing? We're also stomping and breaking corn stalks.
All the farmer's corn.
Not knowing, having any concept of all the hard work it took, the preparation, the planting, the growing, waiting for them to get enough sunshine and rain. So if I drive out to the country and I see a beautiful field, I really like the way it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
All the green, that's beautiful. What I can forget about, though, is all the preparation work and all the ongoing work it's taking for me to be able to enjoy that.
Right. And we'd laughed, you know, when I love the outdoors. I don't want to be an adventurer. I just want to be outside. And I've also often said, I want to be a farmer, but like a Martha Stewart kind of farmer, not like digging in the dirt and mucking hay and stalls and manure and all of that. So
you want people that you can hire to
right. Take
care of everything, and you walk through and enjoy
and have a pretty barn that doesn't
enjoy
smell.
The fruit of it all.
Right, exactly. So I think that's the same as mentoring. That we can have a romanticized view of what, oh, you're just pouring your life into others. But, you know, if we look at a mentor as a farmer, there's some characteristics that are worthy to talk about. So first of all, if we look at a farmer, there's hard physical work required. Do you want to relay that to a mentor about hard physical work?
When you get into difficult conversations,
when
you get into which are conversations about maybe something from the past, a fear, an addiction, something that they push back on, that is, or you go back and forth on.
Yeah.
It's not settled overnight.
Yeah.
That gets frustrating and difficult and exhausting some days. That's just a part of it. But again, like a farmer, I've got to clear the land, but I'm believing there's so much good that's going to happen here
right. And
grow.
Right. Sometimes that hard physical work is done in the mind, right? There's lots of mental work where we're going to those places with a mentee, or we're bringing up things that are difficult, emotional trauma-filled. That's hard work. And is it worth it? Yeah. Just like the farmer would say, it's worth it for me to do this because the harvest is so good. It is worth it. So let's look at another characteristic of an actual farmer: patience and consistence.
Consistency.
Yes. Right. Would you say that's true for a mentor? Patient and consistent.
If you're not, I don't believe the mentoring relationship is going to develop and thrive.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It just requires patience and consistency. Okay, we're going to try this again. We're going to talk about this again. We're going to step out of this. We're going to try this. I've shared this in other podcast episodes. The movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly makes me think of these two characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're willing as a mentor to stick with a person through the good, the bad, and the ugly, therefore being patient and consistent, it doesn't work.
So you have on here dependent on God and nature. What does that mean?
Well, for a farmer, God is the one that, I mean, Scripture says, you plant it, you put it in the ground, and I will make it grow.
Mm-hmm.
A person cannot make a plant grow.
Right.
I watered it. God provides the water. Mm-hmm. I provide the nutrients. No, God actually does.
Yeah.
We just put it in the ground, but He's provided the dirt.
Sure.
So it requires that as a farmer, and then how God has made nature to all work together to have crops. So I think about a mentor. You can have a lot of knowledge and understanding, a lot of experience, a lot of education, but you will come to the end of yourself at some point.
Sure.
You cannot know it all.
Right.
But wisdom, Scripture talks about wisdom coming from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it really goes deep and people get free of things and they understand things for maybe the first time is when wisdom from God is given to a mentor. And they pass it on to that mentee.
Right.
You follow me?
Right. I certainly do. For the listener who's listening for the first time, we talk about mentoring that's organic. We talked about the six areas, but we also unapologetically say we do so with a biblical world lens or worldview. So we believe that a mentor can be used by God, must be dependent on God. There may be some good things happen, but not good things for eternity. And I know that sounds super spiritual, but I can be a good friend. But when I'm being a good friend, while I'm listening to God and listening to the Holy Spirit and imparting knowledge, wisdom, praying for a mentee, that's when real change is affected. And that's our DNA. That's where we come from. That's what we believe authentic mentoring looks like.
If you're a really gifted farmer
and
you have a lot of success, like anything else, it'd be easy to take credit. But think about those times where there's a drought and farmers and their families have prayed, God, please give us rain. They realize we've done everything that we know to do. There's nothing else we can do. God, we need your help.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned to do as a mentor. Now, keep in mind, I am human, and I like getting, it feels good to be given credit. Hey, you're a great mentor, or you've helped me so much here. If I'm not careful, I will hold on to that stuff and think it's about me as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not at the end of the day.
Ability to impact many others with what he or she produces. That's what we're saying a farmer is able to do. How does a mentor do that?
I think of a few men right off the hand, or right off the, what do you say, right off the bat?
Yeah.
I spoke into this young man's life. He has a wife. He has three children.
Mm-hmm.
He goes home. And he's been impacted by a conversation he and I have had together.
Mm-hmm.
Plowing that field up, finding some things in his past and his current life that have maybe caused him to believe lies about himself.
Mm-hmm.
That gets addressed. We talk through some of this stuff. He goes home. He looks at his wife a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to have another conversation that he's never had with his wife before.
Mm-hmm.
He has more confidence, more courage to be a dad to his children.
Mm.
I mean, this could go on and on.
Sure.
He goes, the ability to impact many others with what he or she produces. I promise you, if you mentor someone holistically, they will be changed and they cannot help but pass that on to some others.
It's the ripple effect. I give you something, you take it, you give it to someone else. I pour into you, you pour into someone else. Yeah, people will be affected.
Think about just a crop.
Yeah.
Corn is grown, we eat it all, we enjoyed it, and we don't plant anything else.
Yeah.
Then it's gone.
Right.
Then the next generation, the next year, we don't have any crops to enjoy.
Right. Let's look at focus. How is a farmer focused? How does that fall into the mentoring world?
The first thing that comes to my mind, I'm talking with a guy, and guys, mentoring is not, we don't mentor people because they have problems. That may be a connecting piece initially. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We mentor people because they have great value.
Mm, they've got a purpose.
They've got a purpose. So when I think about focus, someone shares a problem with me, a guy that I'm mentoring. He thinks that's the real issue.
Mm.
It's an important topic.
Mm-hmm.
But as we get to know each other and we talk through things, we'll realize, wait a minute, that's not really what we need to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's back up here.
Yeah.
Why are you so insecure?
Yeah.
Why does fear grip you today?
Mm-hmm.
It's impacting this relationship or your job or whatever it is, but let's not get out of focus here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, but it's really about something else.
If you're a mentor, you can help your mentee keep their focus in life by keeping the important things important, right? A problem here, a setback here. Sure, do those need to be addressed? But in the grand scheme of things, you can keep the car running, so to speak, in the right lane. Many times, like you said, a girl has had a setback or a young mom has this reoccurring issue that she's dealing with. She gets so hung up on that. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's look at this big picture here. What steps are you taking toward impacting the big picture? That's the focus. And so that's exactly, just like a farmer, that's how a mentor can function.
I think about having a small rock or something in your shoe, and you're trying to get from this one place to the other.
Uh-huh.
You need to get there, but the little rock gets your all your attention.
Yeah.
And you get distracted
sure,
by it.
Sure, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I found this. I just Googled, what is a farmer? And I came up with this. Meta, I guess, gave me this. Their responsibilities can vary depending on their specialty, but common duties can include planting, fertilizing and harvesting plants, feeding and herding groups of animals, and providing special diet and care for animals. So in that vein, we took some time to kind of brainstorm the life cycle of a farmer in terms of mentoring. So the first thing we talk about, if you are a mentor, your image of a farmer, there's some field preparation work that needs to happen. So this is usually the first few meetings I have with a young woman is, I want to know what's in her field. So what does that look like, right, without being so poetic? I want to know her story. I want to know maybe trauma or sticking points that she can't get past, because then I know, oh, she's got some rocks in her field, or there's this whole patch of weeds, or there's, I want to know the condition of her field. I also want to know, where is she spiritually? Because when I look at the six areas for me and what I want to impart to others is a sense of closeness with God. And so I'm trying to find out what is the condition of her spiritual life. So field preparation would be the first life cycle for a farmer mentor. Can we say farmer mentor? Mentor farmer.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if is there a lot of enjoyment in that? Just for a farmer.
Yeah.
It's just, you just got to dig it up.
Right.
Right.
But for me, I love this phase. I love
the field preparation. I do too, as a mentor.
Yeah. Can it be hard? Yeah. Can it be emotional? Uh-huh. Sometimes do I need to walk from a meeting and release her to the Lord? Absolutely, because you can hear the stories. But man, oh man, field preparation is a needed and necessary step.
I've had guys tell me before, I'm just getting to know them in a mentoring relationship. Chris, you need to know, I'm a broken man.
Aren't we all?
I go, wow, I hear that. And I go, all right. I think of a field in the farmer.
Yeah.
So I'm the farmer in that situation, that relationship. So I want to ask really good questions to find out, why are you a broken man?
Right.
Why do you see yourself that way?
Right.
And are you really? Or is it a perception?
Yeah, I think field preparation, lots of questions. All of mentoring, I think, is lots of open-ended questions. But then maybe the next phase, and sometimes this can be going on as in the middle of field preparation, would be planting seeds. What does that look like? Recently, I've had a meeting where a rock, so to speak, has kept coming, a lie that this woman keeps believing about herself. And so the exercise was, identify where you first heard that lie, right? And she did. I hope that we have ripped that up. And then how we planted the seed is, what's the truth about that? Oh, well, the truth is this. We've planted a seed. I've planted a process for her in the future when I'm, you know, out of her life, for her to go, oh, wait, I'm getting stuck on this. What lie am I believing? Where did it come from? What is the truth that I can replace it with? That's planting seeds. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts on the planting the seed stage?
He plants a seed. He or she plants a seed. And he envisions what? A beautiful plant that's going to produce fruit, vegetables, whatever it is.
More seeds.
If he doesn't believe that,
yeah,
he's not going to plant the seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a mentor, we have the privilege to plant these seeds. The mentee may not believe it when we first say it.
Sure.
But we, in fact, we may have to be the, not the faith for that person we're mentoring, but we may have to believe these things for them ahead of time.
Sure.
And say, you know what? I don't expect you to believe this now because you've never experienced it, but I'm going to tell you I have,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to see this together.
Right.
It's going to take a while, but that's planting a seed.
Yeah.
Like, here's one. I told a guy recently, I just started this mentoring relationship, and I told him, I know you don't know me yet. We're getting to know one another. It's normal that you would not fully trust me yet, but you're going to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
That's planting a seed.
That's planting a seed.
You're going to be able to trust me and know what comes out of my mouth is I do what I say.
Well, years and years ago when we had our youngest child, Libby, I was 35 years old. She's now almost 22 years old, but I had crippling anxiety for 6 weeks. It was really the darkest time in my life. And I remember a mentor coming to me, my mentor, my best friend at the time, telling me, Christina, I know this is hard. She didn't downplay my pain and misery. But she said, this will be part of your past. This will be only a chapter. It's
That's
not
true.
The whole story. And I kind of believe, I wanted to believe it, but she kept planting that seed. What she was doing is she was keeping her focus, because my focus was right there in the moment. This is what's going to be like the rest of my life. But that's another visual picture of what planting seeds, how a mentor can plant seeds.
Let me add this. One thing that you and I have experienced with, I would say, several people, they've never been told that they are loved by a parent, a grandparent, and we come into their lives, and at some point, because, and I'm not trying to sound all ooey-gooey, but you need to care for people if you're going to mentor them.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, God has given me love for so many guys that I've mentored, and I'm able to tell them that, and it's awkward. Because it's new, they've never experienced it, especially from another man.
Yeah.
And at some point, that seed of telling you are loved, and I want you to know God has given me love for you.
Right.
That seed begins to grow where they are quick to tell me the same thing.
Well, and just kind of on a side note, when we talk about love, I love all the girls, all the young women I get to mentor. I love them. And I think that word, the enemy can just use it to be so tainted, but there, you know, scripture talks about all kinds of love, but there is a familiar family kind of love.
Yes.
Familial kind of love, that brotherly love that we should have, mutual, fond affection that God has put in our DNA for one another. And that seems to be what is so
lacking.
Malnutritioned in people. And so I just think when we say we love people, that's a piece that gets missed. And so, that's a side note. Okay. So we've gone from field preparation to planting seeds. Sometimes there's some weed removal, right? Or some rock removal. I think this is probably an ongoing process, even in my own life, as I mentor myself, so to speak, when a belief system just keeps getting in the way. When something I'm believing is not true, when I'm triggered by something, it's time to remove the weeds. And that requires hard work and patience and focus, a partnership with a mentor and a mentee. But that's part of the life cycle.
And I think weeds are always going to grow.
Yeah.
They're going to be there at some point.
They
it's
are.
It's just like recognizing them. When I was
that's
a kid.
That's a good point. Recognize them.
This sounds really old-fashioned, but I actually chopped cotton one summer. I think I'd finished my fifth grade year.
And that makes you sound very old.
I know, this local farmer. And I thought, how cool. Earn money and we're chopping cotton. You're not actually chopping the cotton. Do you know this? You know what you're doing?
Picking.
No.
Oh.
Chopping.
Oh.
You're actually chopping weeds. You're going along because the weeds will smother.
Help, that's a good life lesson.
They will grow over the cotton. Wow. So you say, I'm chopping cotton. You're not actually doing that. You're chopping the weeds and get rid of those.
Wow.
And they hide in among when they're smaller, and you have to pay a lot of attention. You don't want to chop the cotton down.
Sure.
But you have to chop the weeds down.
Ooh, that's a good lesson.
It's one time doesn't take care of it. Guess what?
Over and over.
They come back.
Yeah, exactly. From weed removal, sometimes we've got to fertilize. To make things grow, then we need fertilizer. And I think for me personally as a mentor, when I'm in this role of being a farmer, fertilizer sometimes is just affirmation. You are doing a good thing. You walked through that hard thing. Yes, you maybe had a setback, but in the past it would have been four steps. You only took a half one. Fertilizing is just reinforcing the good learning, the unlearning maybe, the good habits, the relation, how they're pressing into the things of God and using God's word as their authority and not looking to other people. For me, that's the fertilizing.
That's a piece of it for me too. And some days, I don't want you guys as listeners to think, is it always so serious? No, it's supposed to be all of it. We're supposed to have fun together with our mentees. So one guy said, Chris, the next time we meet, could I drive you out to my farm? Funny, we're talking about farmers.
Yeah.
And I just want to show it to you. Then we can have a cup of coffee, but I want to show you my farm. Guys, that is like fertilizer, because what that's doing, it's bringing two guys together.
Yep.
This guy loves the outdoors. He wants to show me what he loves. Does it make sense?
Right. I was going to say fertilizer for me is just strengthening what's there. So sometimes fertilizer is going to a thrift store with one of my mentees or going to a favorite cafe. It's building on what is already there. Just like you add fertilizer, there's something growing, and fertilizer just reinforces the growth.
It and helps it.
Yeah.
It could be sometimes for men, it's a pat on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so glad to be with you today.
Yeah. Or it's a text just to say, hey, I was thinking about you today and this made me laugh or whatever. So fertilizer is so, so important. Reinforces things that are already growing. Flip side of that is sometimes we've got to deal with some failing crops, right? When there is a windstorm, when your mentee, this is a great example, a couple of weeks ago I was meeting with a young woman. I had an agenda, some things that we've been going through, and she had a rainstorm in her life, so to speak, and everything got set to the side. And we dealt with the aftermath of what that rainstorm did, and we talked through, we just talk through it, and we cannot prevent the rainstorms or the hail or whatever, but how do we walk through it? How do we hold that tension of this is really terrible, but what have I learned? How do I move forward? How do I sit with this? How long do I sit with this? That's all part of being a mentor. Any thoughts there?
I've told guys in tough situations, I don't have an answer for you right now. I don't really know what to say, but I care about you.
Yeah.
And I'm not here. I'm not going to walk away.
Yeah.
Just because it's tough.
Yeah. I've been reading through Job. Said very few people ever on the planet.
In the Old Testament of the Bible.
Even secular society's familiar with Job. He was a very wealthy man, lost everything, and it was terrible. And then at the end of his life, the Lord replaced it and then some. But in the very beginning of his demise, he was so grief-stricken that it said when his friends came to see him for the first time, they had no words, and they sat for 7 days in the grief. I think that's a good example of sometimes we shut our mouth and we sit in the grief. Now, if we stay there forever, we're not doing anybody any good, right? But sometimes it's necessary to just sit in the grief, and that's part of dealing with the failing crops. The good part, I love this part, is the harvest. Oh, man, enjoying the bounty of the harvest. I think about women who now I just say they're my friends who we began a mentoring relationship, and I'm enjoying the harvest. I see them pouring into other women or continue to pour into their children. I see them helping other young women with the very things that they struggle. To me, that is the harvest. Enjoying the bounty of this whole process to see somebody else then give it away. Wow. That's huge. Yeah, for you?
I think, it's part of it. It's literally enjoying meaningful relationships.
Yeah.
I'm not being dramatic here. I believe a lot of people in our world don't have many meaningful relationships. Mm. We have acquaintances. We have some, but truly meaningful relationships that encourage us, that we're thankful for, that we are challenged by in good ways. I don't know there's enough.
Yeah. And then we could stop there, and that would be a really good cycle, right? To go, wow, all those things are really good. But where we take this from is we look at Jesus as the example of planting his life into others so that had Jesus just hung out with these 12 and they had a great time, he saw them grow, that'd be great. But he was like, hey, everything I gave to you, give it away. And so then this whole cycle goes with replanting. After you enjoy the harvest, then you get to replant yourself and someone else and hopefully the person you just finished with. And sometimes it's not finished, it's ongoing, but that's the life cycle of a mentor farmer. We're going to close with two questions. Let me ask this to you, Chris. When does a mentor need to be a farmer?
The cycle makes me rethink this answer, but in the beginning when we're assessing and hearing someone's story, that plowing needs to happen, that's in the beginning.
Preparing the field,
And yet it's the whole cycle, too.
It's the whole cycle.
It's not, even through this podcast episode recording, I'm realizing the farmer is there the whole, when does he need a farmer, he or she? The whole time.
Yeah.
The whole cycle of the relationship.
And then why does a mentor need to be a farmer? What would be some key takeaways?
People are worth time.
Mm-hmm.
People are worth me giving aspects of my life away. There's some foundational things that have happened in people's lives that dictate, that control them today.
Yeah.
That impact relationships, impacts their how they see the world.
Yeah.
And there's so much more to that. But why does a mentor need to be a farmer? Actually, being a part of helping people be set free from a lot of junk. And that's a silly statement maybe, but there's a lot of stuff attached to people.
There's a lot of people who are walking around into adulthood, never themselves personally reaching a place of harvest where they're healing and healthy and can give their lives away. And that's what a mentor can do. Anything else before we close?
No, a farmer is not, he doesn't say, he or she doesn't say, well, this is good enough for the crop.
Right.
It grew that far and it's good enough. Mm. A farmer doesn't do that. I don't want to do that with another person that I'm mentoring.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good enough that you address those issues or those lies, but the rest of it, okay, just move forward. I'm not okay with that, saying that's good enough for you.
So just to sum up, today is the we've just finished part one of a three-part series of what's an image of a mentor. Today we talked about a farmer and some of the characteristics of a physical farmer. What does that look like for mentoring? Kind of walk through the life cycle of a farmer as it relates into mentoring, and then discussed when and why a mentor needs to be a farmer. We hope this has been really helpful for you. If it has, share it with somebody, like and subscribe. You can even donate to the production of good content like this by going to FahrenheitMentoring.org and click on the Donate tab. Today, we also want to let you know that this episode specifically has been brought to you by Commercial Brick. Commercial Brick is a family-owned business since 1975, producing quality brick. If you want more information on this family-owned business, check them out at commercialbrick.com. As always, thank you for listening to Real Life Mentoring Podcast.